Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. It's Ben here. It is another solo episode this week because Jamie is off doing whatever Jamie does. And if people are unhappy that he's not there, which I'm unhappy he's not here, send him a comment. Let him know. Comment on his Instagram page. Let him know if you're listening to this and you have access to his Instagram. Let him know. Say, hey, you're not pulling your weight over on the Coley Science Podcast. But without Jamie, I thought I would circle back on an earlier episode I did this year before the NHL season where I thought about or predicted some award winners. I also talked about some interesting storylines, some goalies worth watching for a different bunch of different reasons. And so I thought I'd come back full circle now as we approach the end of the year and one, see how I did in terms of my predictions, but two, also just reflect on some of the stories that I thought would be interesting this year and how they ended up panning out. So first things first, I said there were a couple young goalies or a couple early career NHL goalies that we would watch out for and see interesting things coming from it. One of them was the story behind Devon Levi in Buffalo. I thought what a great opportunity it would be for a young goalie and a young exciting team to come in and kind of give him a chance and let him really play and see what that would look like. Now, that didn't go the way I thought it might, in the sense that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has had just a really, really wonderful year. Levi's played 23 games, which is, in all honesty, pretty good for a young goalie. I'm happy for him in the sense that he's played that many games. Obviously, he was sent down for a portion of the season and did play well when he was in the AHL as well. But 23 games as a first-year goalie is pretty great. Obviously, Pekka Luukkonen has played 48 games. He's played well. He's, according to Money Puck, about 7 goals saved above expected on the season. But obviously, Buffalo's not been the strongest team this year. They've given up about an average, maybe a little bit more than that, or goals against expected. And so maybe it wasn't as great as I thought they would be. I think they've also scored quite a bit less. And so people had a lot of high hopes for Buffalo at the start of the year. And obviously it's not been the season they thought it would happen. And a part of that was some inconsistent goaltending at start, which was a little bit of Levi. But he's settled down nicely again at 23 games. Obviously a bit of a sheltered role relative to where we thought he might get. But he's currently sitting at about 11 goals saved above expected by Money Puck. And that's pretty nice. I mean, his save percentage, if you want to go back to why I dislike save percentage or why I think it has limited utility when a goalie's been okay or to good, is that he's got a sub 900 save percentage while being almost 11 goals saved above expected. So that just really tells us that Buffalo is giving up premium chances when they do get through. And Levi's doing a pretty good job overall, which is, again, why I think it's valuable to look at these statistics beyond just your standard save percentage, which I do not think is a very helpful stat unless it's really good or really bad, in which case you can kind of figure some stuff out from that. Right alongside the Levi story, a goalie that I was interested in looking at this year was going to be Sam Montembeault. I thought Sam Montembeault was going to have a chance to really run with things in Montreal this year, and sure enough, Jake Allen was traded at the deadline. Montembeault's had a fine year as well. He's been pretty much similar to Levi. He's been just okay for the most part. Montreal, also not a great team, which is challenging for goalies. And as we all know, you as a goalie, you cannot score. And so when your team struggles offensively while also struggling defensively, you end up with some of these situations, right? So in Montembeault's case, according to MoneyPuck, again, 36 games played, given up 115 expected goals against, which essentially means that the team is expected to give up about 3 goals a game. His goals against average right now is 3.03. So it's unsurprising that that's what you get. When you give up a lot of chances, you're going to give up more goals. It doesn't matter how incredible of a goalie you are. That's the reality of it, that there are the more chances you get, the more likely goals are going to go in, and that's how we end up with these situations. Now, on 36 games, Montembeault is about 6 goals saved above expected, which is, you know, pretty reasonable when you're a weaker team. Doing some analysis previously, we see that, you know, the more expected goals your team gives up per game, the less likely you are to be really a much above. Is a pretty interesting relationship when I looked into it last time, where you have a couple people who will have these massive, massive outperformance seasons despite their team giving up a ton of chances. But for the most part, as number of chances increases, you are more likely to hover around expected. And does that mean you're an average goaltender, or does that just mean that eventually stuff squeaks in because teams give up more and more chances, so the odds of stuff squeaking in goes up as well? I think there's a little bit of both in that situation, but ultimately it's been okay for Montembeault. And the third story in terms of fun goalies who I thought would be interesting this year was going to be the story of Elvis Merzlikas, and I am here to say that it was not that fun. It wasn't a fun season. Columbus stinks. And so these three goalies, I said, hey, could they have these breakout seasons on bad teams, or could they have these really, really fun seasons on lower quality teams? Ultimately, this did not work out. Merzlikas, about minus 7 goals above expected, so he's about given up about 6.5 goals more than we would expect him to, given the types of shots he's received. And it's just been okay. Obviously, a couple months ago, there was the trade me talks where Merzlikas was basically asking for a trade. That didn't happen. And Columbus is now all over the news for being an organization that is struggling a little bit with its identity, and obviously has not had the results that they've been expecting given the moves they've made the past 2 years. So all in all, I'm a little disappointed in my, ooh, this will be a fun goalies to watch season in terms of some people who I don't think many people are talking about outside of Levi. I think he got the credit or the hype that he deserved. But my sleeper Merzlikens and Montembeault picks ended up being just okay. I was hoping that they would be able to push or propel a bad team into being a little bit better, and then giving them some credit that they deserve. But ultimately, not the way it worked out. However, someone who I said was going to be the biggest, not surprise, or the person who I thought was going to get people's attention the most this year was the return of Thatcher Demko. And obviously, Vancouver's been wonderful this year. So for those who haven't been following that closely, for a long time this year, Vancouver has scored at an incredible rate, insofar that at times this year, they've had shooting percentages north of 15%, which is crazy, or which is just, it's a lot. It's a very high scoring percentage. You look at league average, and it typically hovers somewhere around 10 to 11% on shooting percentage. And so when a team is shooting north of 15%, they are a combination of potentially very skilled, but likely a little bit lucky, getting some bounces, getting some chances that aren't necessarily sustainable over time. And Vancouver's had a little bit of regression, so they haven't scored quite at the same rate for the rest of the year. But they've still been a very strong team. and they're going to be an interesting team to watch as we get into the playoffs here. Now, a large part of their success this year has been the play of Demko, who at the start of the season, if people can remember, was just at something absolutely silly, like a 950 save percentage, 940 save percentage for 6 weeks to start the year. Now, that's obviously come back down to earth. The save percentage again, which is more of a team statistic, is sitting at about 917. But he's saved about 20 goals above expected on the season, which is, again, a really, really, really great performance. It's been super fun to see him come back, especially since the last time we saw this quality of play was in that COVID-affected season back in 2020. And so to see him come back and to see Vancouver be successful is fun, especially because for people who don't know, Thatcher Demko is a pretty interesting story. Originally from California, played at Boston College, but he's just a year younger than me. And so I grew up, and when I was playing in the States, he was definitely a name that everyone was like, hey, this kid's pretty legit. Watch out for him. And sure enough, I think he's really lived up to those expectations, which I think is great. I'm a fan of a success story. And I've been really, really impressed with Demko's play this year. And I think he's a wonderful goalie. I think there's lots of things we can learn from how he plays and what he's doing over there in Vancouver. So I said that on another podcast, as well as our own, where I thought Demko would be the goalie to kind of watch in terms of a comeback or someone people have maybe forgotten about a little bit. And he has had that wonderful season. So we'll give me a 1-for-1 on this section, but a firm 0-for-1 on my sneaker picks to watch with those three goalies I talked about previously. Now, again, finally, the big topic that I think people are probably most interested in is who is going to win the Vezina, or who is the best goalie in the NHL? It's probably the number one question I get asked all the time, is who's the best goalie in the NHL? And I don't really have an answer for that ever. I think there's a lot of, I think there's a number of really good goalies and they do things differently. And how they perform is also a reflection of their ability, but also a reflection of the team environment that they play within. And I think that's really, really, really important to acknowledge. So at the start of the season, I said that the three Vezina finalists would be UC Saros, Ilya Sorokin, and Connor Hellebuyck. Now, Nashville and New York. Well, Nashville's on an incredible run right now. But New York stinks. Not good. Not a good team. Sorokin is just peppered the whole time. I think it's hard to quite frankly imagine just how ridiculous the environment that Sorokin is in. For example, in 52 games, Sorokin's seen 153 expected goals, which is about on par with how Jordan Binnington's performed, who Jordan Binnington's had a great season, so we'll maybe get to that later, but has had more expected goals per game than Peter Mrazek in Chicago, who, as we've all been following, is not a good team. Currently fighting for the Macklin Celebrini sweepstakes, Chicago is. And so the fact that Sorokin has dealt with about the same pressure as Mrazek tells us things are not good. Things are quite bad, in fact. And so I think if anyone's watched much of the Islanders, and I don't know how many people are sitting down and watching Islanders games because they're boring, so boring, even with the change in coaches. Sorokin's been peppered the whole season, and for a long time, up until about the last month and a half, he was a large reason that they were even contesters, or at least within the hunt to be a reasonable team in the league. And so he's not going to have the numbers this year, and the Islanders are not going to have the success to see him in the Vezina conversation. And again, that I don't think we're going to see. Like, I don't think that's a reflection on him as a goalie, more so as just like that team environment was too much to overcome. And that is something that people rightly predicted might be a problem, right? One of the reasons he was so great last year, why everyone thought he was so great, was how good he was despite how bad their team was. And so that has definitely been something to watch for sure. And I do not think we will see Ilya Sorokin in the Vezina finals this year. Now, speaking of goalies who had tough environments for part of the season, one of the other goalies I predicted in the Vezina finals was UC Saros. And for a long part, Nashville was not looking like they were going to be a very strong team. And Saros didn't have a really great start to the season. He's a notorious slow starter. He kind of caught back up in the middle, dipped back that down. And then now Nashville has been on this wild run for the past couple months here. And so that's been really fun to watch. And so Saros, despite Nashville being on this ridiculous run the past 2 months, since February 1st has actually faced the 8th most high danger shots against per natural stat trick. So I find that always fitting. Saros is 87 of 102 for an 85 save percentage on high dangers during this incredible Nashville run. And so I think that is unsurprisingly a large reason that Nashville's been really great, is that Saros has had this really, really, really fun run. And again, I think everyone likes to watch UC Saros. I think a lot of goalies relate to him, obviously, because he's not 6'4". But only that, he plays more similarly to how I think a lot of other goalies play, especially smaller goalies. We see him being much more aggressive. We see he's this great skater. He makes these sprawling saves because of his athleticism. But all in all, like Sorokin, we won't see Saros in the Vezina discussion this year because there just wasn't enough good. Now, Nashville, again, has made this miraculous run of this really, really fun run the past couple months here. But despite that, we're not going to see a UC Saros ballot on the Vezina, and that's totally fair. On the season overall, according to MoneyPuck, again, he's sitting at 4 goals below expected on the season, which is just, again, about average for a season. And a part of that can relate to how that environment was pretty hostile during the middle and how he wasn't great at the start, and kind of a combination of all those things. But still a really fun goalie. I think had he not had that little slump in the middle, or maybe started even just a tiny bit better, we would have seen his name kind of come through. But ultimately, I don't foresee that happening now. So good season overall for Saros. I hope this streak runs into the playoffs. I hope we see a really, really fun playoff run from Nashville, because they are an interesting team to watch play. But so far, I think 0-2 for myself on my Vezina predictions from at least before the season. Now we get to Connor Hellebuck, though, and I'll take a 1-3. Connor Hellebuck probably will win the Vezina. I'm not sure there are that many other situations that justify any other choice. Not only did Winnipeg go on a ridiculous run of not allowing more than 2 goals, I think, for something like 20 games at one point in the season. According to MoneyPuck, he's also sitting at 28.5 goals saved above expected on 55 games, which is wild. That means on average, you are seeing him stop more than half a goal a game. So Connor Hellebuck responsible for 1 full goal himself, was reduced over 2 games. So for every 2 games you play, Connor Hellebuck's going to save you a goal, which is wild. Absurd. Something that you just don't really see. And this is the definition of impactful goaltending. Now, Winnipeg has been a fairly solid defensive team. With that being said, they still give up just a hair under 3 expected goals per game overall. And so Hellebuck's had a really nice season. And again, this is why I think acknowledging save percentage as being a stat with so many limitations is Hellebuck sitting at a 919 right now. Which again is good. Like I don't think anyone would say a 920 save percentage is bad, but I don't think anyone would say it's out of this world. I don't think people would say, wow, that is just incredible. What a season. I think we have been spoiled for the past few seasons, or at least 5-6 years ago when league save percentage average was creeping up of 913, 914. And now that we're in the low nines for save percentage, I think we are starting to see that, again, why that stat fluctuates so much and why it just doesn't matter that much. And so overall, I do think Connor Hellebuck's actually going to win the Vezina this year. I can't imagine a situation where he doesn't, if we're being totally honest. Winnipeg's been great, and he's been great, and he is deserving of the award. Now, since my other two predictions are we're not going to see those guys in the ballot, where do I think we're going to see the other two goalies come from? I think we're going to see Thatcher Demko in it. I think again, similar to what I previously talked about with him, I think we're going to see that name come up, not only because of a great season he's having, but a part of NHL Media Awards and the awards that we see are narrative-driven. They're story-driven. And he's had a great story again, coming back, Vancouver's great season. So I think it's fairly certain that we will see Thatcher Demko as a Vezina candidate when all this is said and done. I just don't think he could win it over Hellebuck. I would have a hard time imagining that, even though he had such a great season, even if Hellebuck has a bit of a skid here and that Demko ends on a really strong run, I think voters and the media will be a little bit shy of voting for Demko, given the fact that Vancouver just scored at such an incredible rate this year, and that a few players in front of them in Vancouver had such strong seasons that I think people will overlook some of Demko's contributions in favor of the other work that Vancouver players has had. When you compare that to Hellebuck, I don't think people view the team in front of Hellebuck as strongly in an individual sense. And so I think they naturally will attribute more to Hellebuck. And again, like I said, he deserves that. He's been great this year. So I don't think Demko really, I would say he has a very low chance of winning that over Hellebuck. Now, what happens for this third position could go a bunch of different ways. For example, the Rangers have had a really, really great run this past little bit. They're sitting as one of the best teams in the league, although I know there's about 8 teams all fighting for quote-unquote best team in the league by points. But I think Shesterkin has an argument now. With that being said, he's at about 12 or 13 goals saved above expected on the season. Again, a 9-12 save percentage, if you want to look at that statistic, and you can kind of say, all right, it's been an okay year, but the Rangers have been great, and he's got a little bit of voter intrigue. He's been there before. He's been nominated before, obviously. On top of that, he plays the puck a lot, and sometimes I think people think that's fun. I think he has 3 assists. He almost had 4 the other night. So there's a little bit of flair to how Shesterkin plays and how the Rangers play and New York media, obviously. So I think there is a chance we see him. I think the other goalie who we have a chance of seeing, just because of how the season has unfolded, is Sergei Bobrovsky, just because Florida's been so good. Bobrovsky's at 15 goals saved above expected. Now, funny enough, Anthony Stolarz is also at 15 goals saved above expected, despite playing 30 less games. But that doesn't matter. But I think we might see Bobrovsky in, again, maybe a little bit of media attention bleeding in from last season into the playoffs, where he was fantastic, obviously, up until that Cup Finals. And Florida's been great this year again. And so maybe we see some Bobrovsky for some similar reasons of Shesterkin, where there just might be enough media draw based on some of the stories around them from last year and into this year. And then obviously Shesterkin with how good the Rangers are. Now, who I think is the most deserving of this third spot is honestly a bit of a tie between 2 goalies who I don't think are going to be in voting contention. And that is both Jacob Markstrom and Jordan Binnington. Jamie and I have talked about how we really like Jacob Markstrom. We think he's a very interesting goalie to watch play because he's a little bit atypical from some of the other goalies we see in the league in terms of just how he plays. He plays deeper. He's not as clean looking visually as a skater. He's a great skater, but he doesn't visually look as clean as some of the other goalies who just look better, have that visual appeal. And also Calgary stinks, so it's kind of tough. Despite him sitting at 15.5 goals saved above expected in 44 games, he's given up 2 goals a game when he should be giving up about 2.7. He's had just a really wonderful season. I misspoke there. He's given up about 2.7 goals a game when he should be giving up over 3. And so it's been a really wonderful year for him. I just don't think there's enough of just Calgary is just not good enough. And that's where I also think the situation is with Binnington in St. Louis. I can't really say I've ever watched much Jordan Binnington in a skeptical way. I always have thought he is just been a kind of a standard NHL goalie. He obviously had a great season in 2017-2018, I believe, when the Blues won the Cup. Someone can correct me if I'm off a year on that. But I honestly, for the past few years, has thought he has really underperformed his reputation, and the statistics would back it up. The past few seasons have not been great for Binnington. So, for example, this year, on 52 games played, he's sitting at 14 goals saved above expected. The Blues give up expected over 3.1 expected goals per game, which is wild to me. So he's done a really, really great job with that. But if we look at last year, Binnington played 61 games, was, you know, 9 goals below expected, 894 save percentage. Again, the Blues were not a good team. And so last year obviously was not very strong for Binnington. If we look at 21-22, pretty similar. Again, a bit of a funky season, but 37 games, 8 goals below expected, 901 save percentage. So this really is a bit of a comeback season for Binnington after the past couple years have not been so great for him. And that's fun. Like I said, I think goaltending, there's just so much that goes into it, and so much is team environment and what kind of shots we face and our team around us, and so many different factors that go into it that I can understand why goalies look inconsistent despite maybe being really good. And I think it's easy to see that in this kind of example. So I think obviously being Jordan Binnington's a great goaltender, has the potential to be Team Canada's consideration over the next few years. Now that there's not just that many Canadian goaltenders who will be vying for that Olympic or that international spot, he might be a genuine consideration. And so I think both him and Markstrom deserve to have their names thrown around in that Vezina ring. I just ultimately don't think we're going to see it. I'd say, if I could make a hard prediction again, a couple weeks before, I see Hellebuck winning, Demko runner-up, and then I do think Shesterkin will get the nod for that third spot. So for all the people who told me that Shesterkin deserved to be there at the start of the season, hey, I hear ya. I think we might see it. And so ultimately, that'll be the interesting to see kind of how that finishes up. Now, one final closing thought, which I think is something that's kind of interesting, is just the story behind a name that people threw around a lot at me when I talked about this last time, was that Jake Oettinger. People thought I was not giving the Otter enough credit. He's been fine this year. Dallas is a fun team. Oettinger's been fine. They're a pretty strong defensive team. They don't really give up that many chances overall compared to some of the other goalies we've mentioned here today. He's sitting at about 3 goals below expected. So again, an average standard season. And to kind of put things in perspective for people to kind of understand, between 3 goals saved above expected and 3 goals let in below expected, which I would consider about to be this like average hovering spot, we have 20 goalies, about 20 goalies that sit between that. And that's why I say goaltending can be so muddy in the middle, where there's about 20 who have roughly performed as good as each other before we really get into some of the other higher performers overall. And so that's my little wrap up. Again, a short episode without Jamie being here, but as we kind of come to the end, one final prediction round, but ultimately not my best predictive season. Happy to see Connor Hellebuck be successful. Happy to see Demko be successful. Disappointed my young and under the radar goalies didn't perform as well as I was hoping that they would. But overall, not too bad of a prediction from myself this year on goaltenders in the NHL. As always, if you're looking for more goaltending education and more information, always go start by checking out Jamie's YouTube page. It's JamiePhillips30 on YouTube. Same on Instagram. And definitely, if you want that extra level of information, go check Jamie's Patreon out. That's JamiePhillips at patreon.com. You, for $10 a month, you get a ton of information, ton of recorded ice time drills, practices, training sessions. And if you are interested in getting online coaching from him, you can sign up for the waitlist for the Elite Goalie Method. I know right now his online client list is full, but will definitely be some spots opening up every couple of months. So if you're interested in that, interested in getting coaching from Jamie, definitely check out elitegoaliemethod.com and sign up for that waitlist. Otherwise, everyone, thank you as always for listening. We appreciate you. And I promise I would do this. So if you're still listening, Landon, here's your shout out, buddy. All right, everyone. See you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.